What am I alive for? And the reality is, I love love. I'm a love junkie. I'm a love addict in every sense of the word.
She's very direct, slightly irreverent, which is my type of vibe. And she says a lot of things that people think about but don't have the courage a lot of times to actually say out loud.
I'm a little extreme on this, where I'm like, there's no bad, wrong questions. There's no too personal questions. Like, ask all the questions as soon as you can. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. I'm about to be 35. I don't have time to go. I don't want to go on 6 dates with you if I don't know if you want kids or not, or what you think about abortion. Like, yeah, those are tough topics, but they're going to break us if we don't stand the same.
It is sort of a slow shutdown. After time of sort of being reprimanded for certain types of behavior, it's just like, what the fuck, man? Who cares anymore? I'm just gonna like go my own way and do my own thing.
When you're grounded and you just know how incredible you are and what your value is and what you have to bring to the table, it's gonna absolutely change every relationship dynamic, not just your romantic one.
If you're new here, welcome. I'm excited that you've joined us. Every single week, I get to sit down with CEOs, leaders, founders, builders who are doing something really fantastic on the planet. They're building a business that's making a difference in other people's lives. And I get the opportunity to sit down and chat with them and learn how they're doing it. The lessons, the failures, the opportunities, and they're going to leave you and me every single week with some nugget, many nuggets actually, that you can integrate, implement into your business to do the same thing. So I'm glad you're here. Sit back, let's get into it.
Welcome to the Brand Laboratory, using a new platform today. I'm your host, Devo. And I have a different type of episode today. I have a special guest. As you know, if you've been following the show for the last 5 years, wow, we're in 5 years now. Look at that. Most of the time we talk with founders, we talk with leaders, we're talking with CEOs of large and small organizations. And a lot of the time we mostly focus on psychology behind how people build things. And today we're going to step a little bit outside that norm. There's still going to be a through line, which you'll see as we go through the show. But we're going to step out the typical business lane, if you will, and tap into something that affects almost every single founder and leader. And that's relationships, right? And the thing about relationships and what I do in my work is it still focuses on the same through line, which is psychology, right? Psychology shows up in your life, it shows up in your business, and most importantly, it shows up in your relationships and in your dating. It sort of drives how your confidence levels look like, your identity, your self-awareness, your ability to lead or follow, and all that translates into one thing. So today's guest, Chelsea, has built a really cool following. I found her on Instagram, as I do a lot of my guests, talking candidly about men, women, attraction, and the realities of modern dating, which I am now in that circle. So I was that's how I found her in the first place. She's very direct, slightly irreverent, which is my type of vibe. And she says a lot of things that people think about but don't have the courage a lot of times to actually say out loud, which is one of the reasons I was drawn to her because, as you know, I don't have a filter. Her name is Chelsea Thompson. She is a relationship coach who helps men specifically, I think, right, understand women, which for all of my men listeners, you know that that is an enigma into itself, right? We're going to talk a little bit about attraction and dynamics and what actually makes someone desirable in the real world and not in theory. And as somebody who has started dating again for the first time in a while, I can tell you that I need a lot of help. So Chelsea, welcome to the lab.
Thank you. Thank you. I actually go by Chelsco. It's okay, though. Chelsco is just Chelsea in Czech. So you can find on my socials if you guys want to see these crazy videos they's talking about. So this is exciting. Let's do some live coaching. Okay, so welcome to the shit show. How long were you in a relationship?
Well, that's a funny story. Before we go into the coaching, I want to hear your story. But I was I was married for 10 years and then I got divorced back in 2013 and I have been since then. I'm a relationship dude. I love being in a relationship. Yeah. And I have been in three successive relationships since 2013. My latest one ended about a year ago after 3 years. And I have begrudgingly entered the foray again. And I have to tell you, it is completely different even than it was 3 years ago, 8 years ago, which was really the last time I like physically dated. I've actually been very blessed. I've sort of run into these women that I've dated in like the most random encounters. I met one woman who I was dating for 5 years. I was engaged to her. I met her on Instagram. Another woman I met in a grocery store. And then a third woman I met because my teenage daughter had gotten in some trouble and she was friends with this woman's daughter, and I had to bring her over to, like, how are we going to discipline? And then next thing you know, we're dating for 3 years. So those
how
are...
How funny. I know, love a meet much. Cute.
I know.
Yeah.
So before you start coaching me and everyone who's listening, I want to talk a little bit about you. How did you get into this space? Tell me your little origin story. Give me a 30,000 altitude journey.
Yeah, great question. I like to say, you know, if you're good at something, don't do it for free. And I just dated enough disasters, and I learned the hard way, and I did enough of the wrong thing to learn what not to do. But my backstory, I'm also a musician. My name is Chelsko. I go by Chelsko in my music as well. And I started, you know, writing music because it was the only thing to help me. It was my therapy, to help me process heartbreak. And I grew up singing, and then I kind of stopped for a while. I went to school for theater. I'm an actor as well. And then I went through my first, like, I wouldn't say my first devastating heartbreak, that we have that first love, and that was the most shattering. But I went through my first really tumultuous, like really messy, dating relationship right after college. And the only way I could process it was to start writing music again. And so I started, you know, Taylor Swifting it and putting all my heartbreak and all my trauma and all my experiences into my music. So it's really interesting. If I look back and like listen to my own songs, you can hear my story and what I went through. Then I got on social media and started promoting my music on social media. And then I started being like, okay, how can I give back? How can I add value? Right. And I was doing social media for a bunch of different companies. And then I started like a social media company, and I was like, this just isn't fulfilling. Like, what am I alive for? And the reality is I love love. I'm a love junkie. I'm a love addict in every sense of the word. And so I started realizing and thinking to myself, like, well, I've had this unique gift of, having a gift and a curse, the habit of, I have had savior mentality. So I kept dating guys and trying to fix them. And so I said to myself, if you're good at something, don't do it for free. So I started thinking to myself, well, what would happen if I got online and started sharing the same like tips and advice that I would have shared and same energy that I was sharing with people that didn't appreciate it? What if I shared that with people who did and did want to listen to what I had to say and did want to like work on themselves? And I also kind of set out, because I was in two very abusive relationships, to help women not do what I did, or if they were in the cycle of abuse, to get out of it. And I found that there are so many men that had been through what I had been through, except for they're not talking about it, and there's no space for them, and there's no rooms for them, and there's nothing. There's no support for men that have gone through that toxic relationships, abuse, all that. It's all over the internet where we're supporting the women because we need it. We need it just as bad, but there's just no space for the men. So then when I started kind of advocating for men and saying, you know, you can talk to me if you've been through this stuff, because I have as well, and this is how you make it stop, this is how you prevent these toxic relationships from happening again, turns out there's a lot of guys out there that have been through horrific things and really toxic relationships and also want to be in healthy, happy relationships. And so here we are. I have created a beautiful community I'm really grateful for. I see a lot of people on social media that have to deal with like a lot of toxicity, and I get comments for sure that are nasty, but for the most part it's just a really cool, really positive community of people that are all pretty like-minded and want to date in a healthy way and want marriage and kids and future, and are all kind of supporting one another in doing that and becoming the best versions of themselves. I just recently remade my course. I'm about to release my new course called Unshakable, which is a man's guide, right, to becoming the man that a woman is happy to allow lead, a woman is happy to submit to and follow. So yeah, that's where we are in this fun adventure I call life.
There's a lot of things I need to unpack there. So I was taking some notes. First of all, sorry about your abuse. It's interesting. You and I have some parallels. I think that's another reason why I was drawn to a lot of the content you're putting out. And it's kind of a funny thing about people and sort of how they're, I just came from a conference where I was speaking at in Tampa last week. And we were talking about this idea of energy and how likes attract likes and how people mm-hmm. are drawn to people who they share this energetic yeah. vortex with, right? So it's yeah. really funny, even over across internet, I was sort of picking up on that. But this abuse part, I want to talk about that for a second, because I grew up mm-hmm. in a highly abusive environment as a child. And it sounds like you had it domestically with partners. For me, I uncovered in the last few years of therapy that I'm going to go into this attachment theory concept, which I know mm-hmm. you're familiar with, how my childhood drove sort of my attachment theory and how I show up yeah. in relationships, and specifically mm-hmm. with women. And I'm an anxious attachment. I'm a recovering anxious attachment. And so when I started kind of breaking this down, and I was working with a woman out of Canada, Thais Gibson, I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she's a phenomenal woman. And she really just exclusively focuses on this attachment theory. Okay. Anyway, so that's how I first got exposed to it. And then I started working with my therapist on it. And it's crazy, as you start to unpack all of the relationships that I was in, I found that I was attracted to people that I was always trying to solve a problem for them. And it blew me away that the origins of my attachment style were sort of seeking validation by solving people's problems. And so I'm just curious, as it pertains to you and abuse and the type of men that you were attracted to, if you don't mind me asking,
yeah.
can we
yeah.
unpack how your attachment style drew you to men that were abusive to you?
Well, I think that it always ties back to early childhood, but it can look different, right? So I was lucky enough to have a very peaceful, very blessed childhood, right? There was no abuse, no alcohol use at all. Two very Christian parents are still together. But I also had so a couple things going on, dynamics in my early childhood, but one of them was friends, right? Mm. I had girls that were really mean to me, and that really, really impacted me. And so later on, you look at like, okay, well, what are the things? It's because sometimes I have, so there's different things that people, a lot of clients will come to me and be like, well, I don't understand, like I had a normal childhood. Well, it could be something super subtle that you didn't really notice that was going on. It could be a dynamic between your parents. It could be a dynamic between you and your mom, but like there's nothing really toxic or bad, but it's just a dynamic that you kind of got used to. Or it could be like through friends. Like I said, like a lot of mine, I think probably came from trying to prove myself and being like just used and walked all over. I was just the nice kid. And I had girl after girl after girl just be mean to me. And I would try to like be loving and get shit on over and over and over again. And so it's a lot of those different things. But my dynamic is my unhealthy attachment style was anxious avoidant. So I could switch in and out of those. So with an avoidant, I become anxious. But with an anxious, I become very avoidant. So once you know and you have control over those things, you're able to, okay, I see what's happening here. I know how to address this. I know how to share with my partner, hey, this is what's coming up for me. Where will you walk through this with me? Because I don't want to fall into my anxious style. I want to be present and be fully here with you. And there are some tools that I give my clients to be able to change those dynamics. But a lot of it is working on rewiring, you know, your brain and your nervous system and understanding what a healthy, grounded place looks like. So for example, like when I was in my abusive relationships, I was in such an anxious state at all times. I had anxiety. I was shaking like pretty much all the time. Like that became my normal. So after that, I had to take months and months. Honestly, it's taken years to relearn what my normal is supposed to be and at a calm, grounded state. And now I can jump back into that calm, grounded state really quick. If something comes up, if something's bringing me anxiety, I can go do a breath work. I can remove myself from the situation and I'm able to identify, right? Ooh, this doesn't feel good because my new normal is now grounded and calm. So that's the goal, right? Is to figure out, like you said, what was it from our childhood? And then, but more importantly, Because once we know what it was, then we have to figure out, like, okay, we're not blaming, we're not blame shifting. We're now taking accountability and being like, okay, what do I do moving forward so that I don't react, but instead I respond.
I love what you said, once you know. It's really interesting because I think a lot of people think you're going to be stuck in that loop, whatever that loop is, mm-hmm. right? Depending upon, you know, whether it's attachment theory or anything else. But the thing about, and this is actually the work I do with my clients, is once you can identify whatever those triggers are, or whatever that trauma is, then you have sort of knowledge. You have a baseline that you can start working on things. It's not about perfecting anything. It's not about erasing the past. The past is who we are, right?
Yeah.
But once you have sort of a baseline and the knowledge of the source code, if you will, where it came from, then you can, you said specifically, you can start to unpack it and you can rewire the neuroplasticity. So I love that you did that. Yeah. I'm curious about the market itself that you're in. If we can go into that direction for a second. You work specifically with men. You're a woman. How... I guess let me rephrase. Did you step into this market because you recognized a gap, or was it more based upon a desire based upon your own experiences and realizing that, A, there is a gap, but it's largely needed? I mean, speaking for men and having and because I work with men, like, we're pretty clueless most of the time about a lot of things, right? Especially when it comes to dating and trying to figure out the language of Mars and Venus and building our lives and building our relationships. And a lot of men that I talk to, I actually run a men's group here in Charlotte, and one of the through lines that we talk about on a regular basis is that it's kind of lonely, and there's not a lot of resources and information out there for us to sort of get answers, get shit off our chest, and really understand, because we do want to show up for our partners. We do want to run our household. We do want to lead by example. But a lot of times it feels like I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but a lot of times it feels like it's a no-win situation for us in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Because we're either doing too much, we're either doing too much, or we're doing too little, or we're just not speaking the right language, and we sort of get lost in translation all the time. So I think, A, what you're doing is phenomenal, but I'm curious, like, did you step into this arena because you saw a gap and the desire, and you're like, shit, I can really speak to this? Like, what was sort of the impetus behind going into this area?
Yeah, no, great question. And I also will say, I don't think that you're getting in trouble at all for what you just said. I hear it all the time, right? Where guys are like, my hands are tied behind my back. Like, you're telling me do more, but don't do more or you'll get canceled. So like, which one is it? You want me to step up and be a man, but don't be too masculine or that's toxic. So guys are like, okay, fine, I give up. And they just go away. It just hide in a hole. Like, so no wonder y'all are lonely. It's scary out there. And
it's like,
am I allowed to approach a girl? Am I not allowed to approach a girl? Is she going to get mad at me if I approach her? But she's going to get mad at me if I don't approach her? I don't understand. It's a lot of voices.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you said something. Sorry, I didn't interrupt, and I want to go right back to you. But it is sort of a slow shutdown. After time and time and time again of sort of being reprimanded for certain types of behavior, it's just like, what the fuck, man? Who cares anymore? I'm just going to, like, go my own way and do my own thing.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy either.
It's fine. My little – you see this little nose? Oh, he's so cute. I love him. This is my number one boy right here.
That's funny.
I always had girl dogs. And he changed my life. But anyways, that's a whole nother story. I always recommend everyone get a dog, except for just pulling my headphones. Everyone should always get a dog. But yeah, so to answer your question, God, Jesus. Jesus is always the answer. But that's how I got into this, because I really was very angry at men when I went into this space. I've healed a great deal. I had done a great deal of healing, and my most recent relationship was very healthy. So he really softened my heart for sure. And I knew, I was like, okay. And my dad is wonderful. So it's like, I know there are good men. I had just gotten out of a very positive relationship experience, but I still had a lot of anger because I was like, okay, he was good and my dad is good. But other than that, I've experienced a lot of shit. So there's a lot of shit men out there, right? And I wanted to help women so that they didn't have to go through what I went through. But like I said, then I fell into the gap. There is a gap and I fell right into it, right? And I still kind of was like, well, I'll help men and women. And it just kept being like, I just kept hearing these men's stories and my heart softened. And I realized, you know, there are so many good men, but you don't see them because they're not out there on Instagram being, you know, like showing their six packs and like being loud and obnoxious, because not that, I mean, I can be loud and obnoxious too. Okay. So I'm not like hating on that, but you don't see the humble, kind ones a lot because they're at home with their dogs, you know, like they're not out being assholes. Right. So
my dog, like, is right over here. It's looking at me like, hello, it's walk time. Sorry. Hello. Right as you said that, he peeked around the corner.
I love it. But yeah, so that's how I fell into the space. And then I was like, okay. And I was posting stuff as a woman saying that women should treat men better. Of course, I'm going to attract male clients. Right. Mm. And, but I got on calls and I heard their stories and my heart really softened and I realized, hey, guess what? If we want a better world for women, we need to encourage the good men to continue being good men and we need to raise more good men.
Do you think that men today feel like they're walking on eggshells just yes. in general when it comes to dating and attraction?
Just yes, in general. When they breathe, when they wake up in the morning, I think they think that they're walking on eggshells.
So is there a difference between holding men accountable and publicly shaming them?
And yes, absolutely.
Explain how you feel about that. What's your idea around that?
Well, I think that, you know, accountability, it's important to be honest. It's important to hold people accountable. And public shaming is more like making a joke of it or, you know, doing it for likes, views, like, you know, attention, right? Mm-hmm. From a biblical standpoint, right? We are called to hold one another accountable. We are called to call each other out on our shit. But it says to do so in a loving way, right? And if someone doesn't listen, then you take them to the church. If they still don't listen, you take it. You know, there's steps to it. There's ways to do it the right way. So I think that these conversations need to be had. You know, I think it's important to be like, okay, women, also, like, it's your job to not let a man stay in your life if he's treating you like an object and just wants to sleep with you and is not pursuing you with intention. Hold him accountable. Block him. Be done with him. But then if he is treating you right, like, those are the men you're going to put more care and attention to, right? I hope that answers your question.
Yeah.
I just think that there's almost an obvious way if someone's holding someone accountable in love versus making a mockery of them.
What exactly does pursue with intention mean to you?
I think pursuing with intention, it comes down to respect and communication. If you're really getting to know someone to marry them, you're taking it slow. You're being clear in your communication about your intentions, right? A man who is like, I want to marry you. I want to date you to find out if this could be potentially a good marriage. I don't know you yet, but I would like to get to know you. I would like to take you out on dates. Yeah, I mean, it just takes time, but that's pursuing with intention, is just simply slowly getting to know someone and making your intentions clear, versus, hey, do you want to go get drinks and then trying to sleep with her? Like, it's two very different things, right?
Here's the problem I have, and this is not as it pertains to you, just in general. There are so many experts out there that seem to have the answers these days to dating women, to date, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. I heard a podcast today, and I'm just curious your opinion on this. Mm. He was talking about how the number one mistake that men make when they're trying to attract a woman is that when they meet somebody that they like, they suddenly go into like puppy dog mode because they suddenly identify what they really want to date this woman. They really want to partner with this woman. They want to, like, she's marriage material, but she's wife material. And he's like, no, that's the number one way to scare a woman off. I want you to be more cavalier. I want you to play it more cool, calm, and collected. Don't be so chase culture, yada, yada. And I understand what he's saying. Like, but what's that fine line between if you're dating somebody and you actively like her, like, the whole point is to spend time together, is to let her know you like her, to let her know that you want to be around her, that you enjoy her space and her energy. So I don't necessarily agree with what he's saying. I understand the kind of like the the motivation behind it. But what's your take on when a man meets a woman and there's a physical, emotional, intellectual, whatever it is, attraction on both sides, and men are sort of like, wow, this is like too good to be true. Like, I really like this woman. I want to spend time with her. But what's that balance between attracting the right person, spending time with the right person, and not being too cavalier, but not being too overbearing, I guess, if you will. Does that make sense, the question?
Yeah, no, I actually agree with him. And here's what I'll say is it's for both genders though, right? Because when I look back at times when I was in not such a secure place, I turn into a total puppy too. I see a guy and I'm like, all of a sudden I'm marrying him in my mind. And I'm like, what do you want to do? I'll go wherever you want. I'll come meet you. I'll bring you flowers. Like, when we are not completely in frame and grounded and excited about our life, we get our like validation and our love from a potential, you know, like, especially as a woman, we like especially create this beautiful life, this fairy tale. We grew up with Disney, you know? And so men and women both do it. We turn into puppies. And I don't think it's a grounded way to react. I think if you see someone that you see all these lists, you see all the checks of your on your list, and you're like, they have a lot of potential, this is a really good option, you slow down and you have to sit back and realize you don't fucking know them. Excuse my French. They might actually suck. And you chill out for your own sake, not to get them. That's the difference. It's not about, well, act cavalier so that you can get them. No. Remember who the F you are and sit back into, what is my purpose? What is my mission? What am I excited about? What gets me up in the morning? And it's not a woman. It's my why in life.
Mm.
And if you are excited about that, then when you see a woman who has all, who checks all these boxes, you'd be like, okay, let's see. Let's see if she actually is. And then you make your intentions known. Okay, I would like to see you. I'm really busy doing my things, but I have this date and this date, and you seem like you could be a really great woman. So I'd like to actually get to know you and see if you actually are what you appear to be. And then guess what? That is so attractive. And it's not puppy at all, but it's not that you're not being puppy because you don't want to be puppy. You're not being puppy because you're grounded and you're in your healthy masculine. And that's going to attract anyone in her healthy feminine who's also pursuing her why and who's also like, okay, cool, I'll let you pursue me, but I'm also very busy. But let's find a time that works because I would like also to get to know you and see if you are who you say you are. And let's meet and get to know each other. And then there's this beautiful, deep connection that is built slowly that eventually could end up in marriage.
Hmm. So the through line that I heard you say isn't necessarily being cavalier. It's being very purposeful and staying in the lane of what you want out of your life and sort of letting things unfold naturally.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of attracting the right type of person that you want to eventually date, and if marriage is your thing, eventually marry, are there things that – how do I say this – are there things that we should be doing more pragmatically as it pertains to dating, in the sense of, and when I say pragmatically, rather than just going on dates, are there conversations that should be happening at specific stages that you should be openly communicating with your partner, asking the right types of questions? And if so, like, can you maybe take me through what that cadence looks like in terms of you meet somebody, they seem really cool, you go on a date, like the different levels, and like, when are the times to be introducing these pragmatic, I don't want to call them interviews, but you are kind of almost interviewing each other for the practicality and the potential of this. Yeah.
I would say the problem with our generation is that we care way too much and are open with all the stuff that doesn't matter. But then all of a sudden, you see the IGs about it where it's like, they have no problem being completely naked with each other, but don't want to ask, what are we? Like, what? Like, that's so there is, I really don't think that I'm a little extreme on this, where I'm like, there's no bad, wrong questions. There's no too personal questions. Like, ask all the questions as soon as you can. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. I'm about to be 35. I don't have time to go. I don't want to go on 6 dates with you if I don't know if you want kids or not, or what you think about abortion. Like, yeah, those are tough topics, but they're going to break us if we don't stand the same. So for me, I'm like, I won't even go on a first date when the, like, the first date's not even happening until I know that our values are pretty much aligned and that you want marriage, kids, love the Lord. Like, so a lot of people too, the location thing is pretty important. Some people will move, some people won't move. If you're not gonna, if you're both like, I'm not leaving the state ever, then there's no point in dating. If you're in different states, like, there's stuff like that, that some people will be like, oh, well, they were really cute, so I spent 6 months going on dates with them, and then all of a sudden you realize they don't want kids and you do. So you just threw 6 months of your life in the garbage can. That's not true. That's not true. I take that back. You learn. You always learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a more efficient way.
I like how you caught yourself on that one, because I was going to call you out on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that, but I'm such a glass half full girly, right? Like, God can use everything, but like, okay, a baker can use everything too, but they're probably going to have an easier time if you give them flour, dough, and or flour and sugar than if you give them, like, I don't know, something nasty to work with. You know what I mean? Like, there's easier ways to do it. Like, is God, can God work with everything? Absolutely. I chose the worst, the worst dating choices. And he still, I got a beautiful career out of it. Like, I now help people to not make those choices. So God can use literally anything if you're in surrender and in that posture of surrender with him. But if you want to have a healthy, happy marriage and long relationship, and you want to get there sooner rather than later, if you're ready for that, if you do the, first of all, you have to do the work to make sure you actually are ready for that. Because a lot of people think they want that, but they're not even. I was not anywhere remotely ready to be married 5 years ago, but I thought I was. So I think the most important thing is to work on you. But when you are ready, actually, yeah, I think it's important to ask the important questions first. I think it's the biggest thing is to make sure your values are aligned. If you DM me the word values, I have a value worksheet. But so, I mean, that's for me. I've filled my value worksheet out very thoroughly, and it helped me realize what I value and what's important to me. And those can be little, this can be very different for each person. Like, one thing that I bring up in my course is time, right? Some people might be like, I'm always late to everything and it just doesn't bother me. And some other person might feel very disrespected by that. And that could just be a conversation. That's not a reason to date or to not date them. But this kind of stuff comes up when you're figuring out, like, what are your values? What do you value? Are you going to want to raise your kids in the church? And the other person really does not want to raise their kids in the church. Like, these are questions that should be had earlier on. Talk about finances, talk about faith, talk about travel, talk about, you know, some, maybe one person wants to spend all their money on travel and the other person absolutely doesn't want to do that. That may not be a good alignment, right? But if you find out, you figure out first what all your values are, and then you figure out what someone else's are. And as long as they overlap enough, it can work. There's compromise always has to happen. No one's going to be completely aligned. But if you don't align in 4 out of 5 sections, probably don't continue dating them.
I love that what you just said. I want to talk about my favorite word, and it begins with V, and it is values. And it's the very first thing that I do with every one of my clients, because the through line, and I talked about this at the outset of the show, I'm going to bridge the gap between relationships and what you do and what I do and sort of why it's important to understand. And values is the first bridge. Because if you don't know what your values are, whether you're in business or when you're in life, you're sort of floundering and sort of throwing spaghetti noodles at the wall, trying to figure out who you align with, what do you believe in, all the different things. So values are critical. It's funny you have a values exercise. I actually have one as well, too. We should share and see if there's any crossover. In terms of your values, right off the bat, what are your 5 most important critical values that you look for in dating?
Well, the most important one to me is their walk with God. Okay. And that is the core, right? Is they're living for serving the Lord. That everything goes back to, is this honoring my relationship with him and helping me to live for God? Because ultimately, a good relationship isn't supposed to serve me. It's supposed to help me serve my higher power. Another thing that's really important to me that I value is communication, right? It just, it's calm communication. not arguing. I have zero tolerance for yelling or for any abusive type of things. Another one that I value is I really value my my freedom. I would not ever tolerate being controlled or being with someone that's overly controlling or possessive, because that led to very toxic patterns and would be very triggering for me personally, having come from abuse. I do value traveling. It's very important to me. Traveling and my career. I think it's really, really important that someone supports my vocation and is okay with it, because some guys would absolutely not be okay with dating. A lot of guys would not be okay with dating a girl who has over 200,000 mostly men following them. But I also have a lot of things in place for myself, because rules and boundaries and guidelines that I have in place to make my future husband comfortable. I was just talking to someone earlier, and people are always asking like what's appropriate and what's not appropriate on Instagram. Like you said, it's a whole different world these days than it used to be. And so for me, it's like I've created this groundwork now with how I approach. I have automations that respond to my comments. So like I'm not even most of the time interacting. I try not to interact overly at all, but especially not in any flirtatious or any way that could be perceived as flirtatious.
When you're communicating with your audience, you mean?
Yeah. And then number five, family values is just really huge for me, right? I want to, in part of honoring the Lord, is going to be having a beautiful family that loves the Lord, and that we are, you know, keeping him at the core of that and of raising our children.
Thank you for that. I want to get to you coaching me at the end, so I need to be respectful of time, but I did have a couple of more questions. In terms of my values, I just want to share them with you and get your feedback on it. My first value is actually values alignment. I want to know what sort of crisscross crossover we have as it pertains to the value. Like, do you even know what values are, and have you spent the time to actually get to know what you believe in? Which is interesting, and any men who are listening to this, I highly recommend you go to Chelsko's Instagram feed, download her values. I know the power of doing that exercise just from my own side. So if you have one specifically for dating, the imperativeness of knowing what you actually believe in and what you're looking for is critical, I think, at this stage. You said communication. We're fully in alignment on that one. I put two things on there, and as you were talking, and I don't want this to sound vain, but emotional intelligence is really important to me, in terms of not that I'm smarter than you or you're smarter than me, but like, do we sort of see eye to eye emotionally in how we view the world? Are we like intellectually in alignment to some sense? Because if you have to explain everything to me because I'm not smart enough to understand, you're probably not a good fit for me, right? Like, or I'm probably not a good fit for you, right? Communication. And then I also put down, and I'm just curious of your opinion on these, I put down reciprocity. I really feel like a good relationship, in my opinion, should have a neutral, sometimes you lead, sometimes I lead, but a reciprocity approach, in terms of like, I'm here to make sure that you're growing, you're here to make sure that I'm growing, we're here to build each other up, we're here to make each other stronger and inspire, because I firmly believe in the idea of, and I know you do as well because you talk about it a lot, the masculine energy, the feminine energy, and the balance of being able to possess both of those and work collaboratively together as a partnership to build a life. Like, that's the whole point of being in a relationship, right? And then my last one, I don't know if you would consider this a value, but I said peace. I want to be in an environment that is just peaceful. I want to be able to come home or be with you, and every time I'm with you, it just feels like home. It just feels like peace, right? So you feel like those are good identification 100%. Metrics?
I mean, that's the number one thing that I tell women, is that a man just wants peace. There's chaos out there. He wants to come home and be able to lay down his head and rest, right? And I have so many men that are like, well, am I allowed to be vulnerable with her? Yeah, that should be the one place you can be vulnerable. That should be the one place you can come home and lay your head down and cry if you need to, and like just breathe for a second, because you're out there defending your family, providing for your family, doing whatever it is, even no matter what the dynamics are, if you both work or whatever, the man, if he's in his masculine right, is out there facing the world. You want to come home and have that peace. And so I think, and that's something that you can identify very early on if you're dating and there's already like drama starting unnecessarily and there's already a lack of peace, then you can recognize like, this is probably not the direction that I want to go.
Why do you think, and I'm assuming I know the answer to this, but I want to hear what you say, because dating over time and men and women's relationship over time has dramatically evolved, mm-hmm. not necessarily for the better in some ways, but in some ways. And where I'm going with this, you know, I just turned 50, so I've been dating for a while. I was married for 10 years. You know, like I've been playing in the sandbox for a while. Yeah. And I can tell you, like, I can make a whole journal entry on this. The differences it was when I first started dating back in college was really, well, I guess I started dating in high school, but true dating. I mean, in high school, we don't know what the fuck we're doing, right? But in college, like, I started having real relationships, and then all the way through up to my age now. And there is a massive difference in how I have had to adjust my habits and my styles and, like, the different things, and women in general. And I'm wondering, I'm just curious, why do you think that women underestimate how much men actually just want, or how much men respond well to respect and admiration and peace? Like, why do you think that has gotten so off kilter, if you will?
I think it's the same. Yeah, I think it's the same as why men think that women only want bad boys. Girls also, I mean, there's a book, Men Want Bitches. So like, we're out here thinking like, he's not going to want me. And our experiences have not, most of the time, have not taught us that men just want peace. If you just be a nice little peaceful girl, he's going to choose the one with the big tits and the like perfect body who's like has a million followers over you.
Mm.
That's what we see. That's what we experience. Just like how men are like, well, she keeps choosing the tatted bad boy over me. It's the same thing. It's a cultural problem, right? Where we are not glorifying and giving credit to the good ones. Neither sex is. You don't see movies with like the humble, you know, mom looking like, what's that word? You know what I mean? Like, you don't see movies where they're like praising the peaceful, like humble, like motherly, calm, grounded woman. No, they're praising the hot one, the one who made it big in money and got like big in business or got all this money, or like it's the same Cinderella story, right? Where it's mm-hmm. like, so we watch TV and we watch Instagram. Who, what are the girls getting all the most attention? They're the ones mm-hmm. in the tiny bikinis, and guys are saying, well, I don't want a girl that's wearing a bikini, but who are they liking? Who are they mm-hmm. giving attention to? The girls in the bikinis.
Wait, so what guy is saying they don't want a girl in a bikini? I'm not saying that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Oh, okay. So you would be saying that if it was your girl, though. That's what I'm saying. Is like,
if
what
it was
you
my
want
wife?
Is a peaceful. Yeah. If you, what you want is a peaceful, grounded woman who's probably not putting ass pics out on Instagram.
Okay. And, sorry. Yeah. One thing on social media, one thing in private on the beach together. Yes, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm all for but you looking getting, as good as you want on the beach in your bikini.
Right,
trust me. Like,
100%.
I'm all for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
But the problem is men are sending the wrong signals to women by giving all the attention to the women who are doing the things that they don't even want their woman to be doing.
All right. I want to switch gears real quickly because I do want to get to something. You said two things. Social media. How much of an impact has social media and modern media in general had on the effect of dating in 2026, 2025, this generation we're in right now?
How much effect has it had?
How much negative impact has social media and just media in general, movies, celebrities, Hollywood, what has it done?
It is the devil's playground. It is the way Satan is trying to divide us, men and women. And
but what specifically do you think it is doing?
Well, what I just said, right? So we're seeing in the public eye And in movies and in social media, the people that are being glorified are the people that are not doing the right thing. And then secondly, it's easy. It's so much easier to cheat, right? Back in the day, you could, yeah. You'd have to leave the house. You'd have to somehow talk to a girl like without anyone noticing and like get her number, but it's a small town. So they saw you talking, they're going to tell your wife. There's no accountability anymore. You can do everything in the privacy of your phone and no one will ever know. So it's made temptation a lot more aggressive.
I appreciate what you said there. And one of the things that I was thinking about and having this conversation with a woman actually last week is that social media, dating apps, television, movies, they're optimizing for attention rather than compatibility.
Yes.
And just, do you agree with that?
Yes.
And then how do we counterbalance that? Like what the reality of dating apps today, and people are not going out in the capacity of dating anymore. It just seems like most of the men I talked to, like, I don't know where to meet women. So what's the reality of dating apps today? And are they helping people or are they optimizing attention rather than compatibility? What's the best way for men to meet women in a healthy, sustainable capacity today?
So I would say, first of all, it's not where you are physically, it's where you are emotionally, mentally, spiritually, because it doesn't even matter if you're in a club, the grocery store, or on a dating app. If you're in a good place and if you're grounded, you'll be able to identify, ooh, that's not for me. Oh, that could be. That's why you see marriages where it's like, we met in a club. Well, they knew what they wanted. They knew who they were when they met that woman in the club. And so they were able to identify she's wifey material, she's not, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want to meet a good grounded woman, a woman who's in her healthy feminine, who is wifey material, it's less likely you're going to meet her in a club, you know? They might very well be on dating apps. I'm working on, hopefully in the next year, launching a dating app that I think will be a lot better equipped for people actually meeting someone whose values are aligned. It's a dangerous world, the dating apps. You just have to be very intentional. You have to not judge people off their looks. Sorry, I know that's a tough one. You have to give people that maybe aren't like as sexy as you would like a chance, because guess what? We're all going to lose our looks, but you have to make sure your values are intact and make sure you're looking for the right things, because you might be swiping by 10 future wifeys because she's not as hot as this other one who could actually ruin your life, you know, because you're not looking for the right things.
Which is why it's important to know your values, because as you're swiping through, you sort of know what you're actually looking for in alignment with your values, right?
Yes, 100%. And going to church activities, or if you're not involved in church or not a Christian, going to nonprofit or service projects, you're less likely to meet a dud doing service projects on a Saturday morning. They're probably hungover in bed, you know? Who's out on a Sunday or a Saturday morning volunteering to help others? Probably better people, probably good people, probably people with their life together.
I like that you said that. That is funny. All right. If men want better dating experiences, what do they need to improve in themselves?
If men want better dating experiences, they need to work on themselves first and make sure that they are attracted to and attracting a solid partner, which means they need to be grounded. They need to be grounded spiritually, emotionally, mentally sharp, right? Ready to hold space for a woman to feel safe. And then she will respect you and you will feel respected and she will be able to lean into her. A healthy masculine man can take a woman out of her masculine and put her right into her feminine because she feels safe. And if you haven't worked on yourself and done this work, that's what I teach. Like, my whole program is going through how to become a man that women gravitate towards. And then you get to be picky. You should be picky, right? And any woman will feel safe and lean into her feminine around you if you have done the work. So, I mean, to answer your question, what do they need to work on? It's a lot. You have to work on your spiritual health, your physical health, your emotional health. You have to make sure that you are a man who can stand in his healthy masculine in order for her to lean into her healthy feminine.
Same question, but for women.
same thing, right? You have to work on your spiritual, mental, physical health, right? How are you going to react? Are you going to react, be reactive? Or are you going to respond? Do you know your attachment styles? Are you working on being that calm, peaceful container for him to come home to? If you haven't done the work yourself, you're not going to be able to be the safe, calm, peaceful place for him to come home to.
Do you think that men and women actually want the same things long term? Or are we separately trying to build relationships on fundamentally different standards and expectations?
I think we want the same things. I think, we don't want the same things, but we want the same thing. Men want to feel respected. Women want to feel safe. And if a man feels respected, he's going to make his woman feel safe. So we do want the same thing. Like, we, in the end of the day, everyone wants someone who's going to love them, be loyal to them, trust them. You're not going to, you know, that you see those old school relationships, like my grandma, you know, she's like, I would never in a million years have thought, I wonder if grandpa's cheating on me. Like, that never would have even crossed her mind. And he created that safe space for her. So she had no problem like keeping it, holding up the fort at home and making sure the kids were always good. And she was excited and appreciative. And they just had a very lovely, wonderful, full life. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that in the end of the day, when you see people searching for or wanting like likes and validation and money, just trying to fill a void. In the end of the day, we got a God-sized hole in us. And you fill that up with Jesus, and then you start actually looking at relationships like a way that can actually help you to love the Lord and serve the Lord even better, then that's, I mean, what more could you want?
For those people who aren't necessarily following a Christian God, how would you rephrase that?
I think that it's still like a higher power, your meaning, your why for your reason to, why are you alive? What makes you excited? You know what I mean? And if you are, there's no one out there that's like, I'm not really big on like purpose. Like, I don't think you could find anyone that's like, nah, I'm just trying to have a good time and die. Like, everyone wants something deeper. You know, that's why there's, that's a real one. Like, everyone uses that, right? That's a real one. Why do people want real ones? They want purpose. They want deep. They want authenticity, right? So everyone is looking to fill this, whatever you want to like call it, a God-sized hole, right? And that's where we all are wanting to fill that that void with our why and a purpose. And a partner, a healthy partner, will help you to be more of the person you're meant to be. So I think that other people would just say, you know, would phrase it more as like what the universe or what life is like, what you're meant for, what you were born for, your destiny. But if you're filling that, a healthy relationship will be helping you to be the best version of yourself. Iron sharpens iron type of thing. And I think in the end of the day, like, that's what everyone wants. Everyone wants love. Everyone wants to be loved. And I think, you know, when you feel like you're working towards, you're never going to be perfect. Well, we all have flaws, but when you feel like you're living for something larger than yourself, how can you, you know, if they say, if you're a grateful person, it's really hard to be mad.
Gratitude is something that I don't think I ever had any knowledge around until the last few years, really sort of shaping my life around just being grateful where I am right now. And you said something earlier, and I want to go back to it. Every relationship, even though they've ended for me, and it sounds like you hold the same scope, every relationship I've been in, even my wife's and every relationship that has ended, I have learned so much about myself. They have been some of my greatest teachers, right? And each successive relationship that I've gone into, I was able to carry the lessons that I learned, whether it was how not to do something or how to better treat somebody or how better treat myself or understand my own patterns, my own loops, attachment theory, what have you, and then taking that forward. So it's really important that what you just said, that we look at every opportunity and experience with some sort of gratitude for the lessons that we can take with us into the next stage. Last question before, if you still are going to offer to give me some coaching advice, and for anyone listening, Do you, and this is kind of the thing that I struggle with, do you think that modern culture itself is teaching men how to be safe, if you will, but not how to be desirable and not how to properly date and show up for people and not be true men as leaders anymore?
Yeah, I think that our culture is not, has not created a, the grounds or, foundation for men to be able to feel safe being in their healthy masculine, because they're kind of told with the cancel culture that they're like going to be, that's toxic masculinity and that's this and that. And, they like back to circling back to the beginning, right? We are making men feel like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
What in the Chelsko version of like the perfect scenario, what is the ideal relationship look like, role based, for a woman and a man? What are the roles that we play?
Yeah, an ideal relationship is a woman being able to be in her feminine and a man being able to be in his masculine, and both encouraging that for and holding space for one another to do that, right? Because you see a woman when she's in love, and I have seen like myself turn from like turn back and forth. Actually, I've witnessed it in myself. It's like, who the hell am I now? You know, like when I am put in my masculine, I turn into a bitch real quick. If someone else is not getting stuff done, I mean business. Mm-hmm. If it's not getting done, I will get it done. I will put the pants on so fucking fast. Excuse my French. With a man who is in his healthy masculine, I turn into a little girl, giggling, like silly, like loud. Like I just turn into, like, I just lean into being a little girl if I feel safe. And so I think this beautiful dynamic that can happen is when both people are willing to go there, because it's vulnerable as well, right? If both people are, have done the work and are actively doing the work, because it's never fully done, then it's a beautiful dance, the masculine and the feminine, in when it's done right, when it's done correctly. I do have a hard stop coming up here, so let's
I'm gonna let you go now. Okay. It is a never-ending project, really, truthfully. And and at each stage you evolve in the relationship, it behooves you to sort of continue to have the candid open conversations about how do we continue to grow together. Well, Chelsko, I really appreciate you being on the show today. It's been a fun conversation, very enlightening for me. I love your candor and your reverence and sort of like your take on things. It's very refreshing. And so that was one of the reasons I wanted you to have on the show. For anyone listening who wants to go deeper into the work you're doing, they can find you on Instagram. You also, if you want to share some of those, that information real quick, and this will be in the show notes as well. But
You can find me at Chelsko Coaching, and just chelsko.com is my website. All of the things are there, my music, my coaching, everything. I would just say for you, my little tidbit, if I could give just from what I've heard about you, that trauma that you had as a kid, like it's huge that you have been able to see like, okay, this is why I'm attracted to and attracting what I'm attracting. And as an anxiously attached person, because I also have that side of me, right? It's so easy for us to go into that overgiver. And I also see many, many men overgive because you guys are givers. You want to provide, protect. So especially for an anxious style, it is easy for you to kick into overdrive and trying to take care and fix and this and that. Mm-hmm. But the more you lean into who you are and what your purpose is, and remember, it's about coming back to realizing, whether you believe it in God or not, how valuable you are, and start approaching relationships more, not like, what can I get from this? But I know who I am. I know what I deserve. And so now I'm going to walk into this with that energy. And of course, you're going to provide and protect once that trust and relationship is built. You're not going to overgive. You're going to give just enough. You're going to, you know, I'm going to hold this space. This is when this date is going to be. Okay, cool. I'm seeing more of who you are. Let's go on a few more dates. When you're grounded and you just know how incredible you are and what your value is and what you have to bring to the table, it's going to absolutely change every relationship dynamic, not just your romantic ones.
Thank you. I appreciate that insight.
You're welcome.
Well, this has been a fun show, a little bit different from our normal broadcast, but I really appreciate you being here and sharing the information
that
you have.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I sort of just recapping the fundamentals of building relationships are centered around values, communication, doing the work on yourself, having some self-awareness of how you show up in the world, and be willing to have and find a partner who is willing to grow with you alongside you. The two of you are building something together, just like you're building your business, just like you're building the clients that you attract. All of those things go hand in hand, and it all really starts with us at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Amen.
So cool. Amen. All right. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you being here. It was a phenomenal show, and I hope everyone else enjoys it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That's it for today, folks. Thank you. If this episode hit you, like it, subscribe it, leave a review. It helps a lot more than you think, and it helps the right people find this show and help us keep growing so we can continue to produce amazing episodes. You can find me at thebrandstoryteller.com if you're interested in connecting with me. And everything else about this episode, the guest, the websites, the social media handles, they are all linked below. I'll see you in the next show.